This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Ron Coomer on deck.
And Ronnie's been red hot. Been in the zone.
Ron Coomer.
Let's see if the Cubs can respond.
We're helping him out.
Coomer drives one into right center field. Long run, Pierre. Pierre dives, misses it. It bounces all the way to the wall.
That's a nice knock for the old hometown boy, isn't it?
Chicago Cubs radio analyst.
What a ball game. The wait is over. Right? It is over. The Cubs are World Series champions. How does that sound, partner?
1999 American League All-Star.
From the American League All-Stars, infielder Ron Coomer.
The Coom Dog with Mully and Haw.
Woohoo!
On 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. We are in a missing David formation, but we have Ruthie Polinsky in this morning, and we are delighted to welcome in one of God's great men. He is Ron Coomer joining us on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, Aturo.com. Ron, good morning. How are you, sir?
Mikey, I'm doing great. Ruthie, how are you guys this morning?
Doing great.
Yeah, we're home, so we're doing fantastic. Yeah. You have been on the road. And I got to tell you, Ron, the relentless nature of this schedule is something altogether different. Obviously, Arizona again coming in here, and then you got the Dodgers again. Like, it just feels like you're playing the best teams of baseball every time you turn around.
It really has been. Since the season has started, the only series that you got kind of where you looked at it and went, well, you know, they're not projected to be a team playing in October was the A's when we went to Sacramento. But, you know, when we went out west, this was really going to be the toughest two-week stretch of baseball schedule-wise that you thought the Cubs would have maybe all season. So, you know, you find out right away where you stand with the league. You know, we're going to be done with the Dodgers here by the time this homestand is over. We'll be done with Arizona when this homestand is over. And, you know, you've played the Padres, who you expect, who's, you know, so far has been one of the best teams in baseball. So, you know where you stand. And the Cubs are in first place right now, so that's, you know, some real positive stuff, you know, after a schedule where, you know, you're seeing the best teams.
Ron, what was your assessment of the Padres series? Obviously, the first series lost since Tokyo, but as you mentioned, one of the best teams in baseball right now.
Ruthie, I thought they played very well. When you go out west, first of all, when you finish 500, and this is some of the best teams I've played on, you're happy with a 500 record when you go out west.
Yeah.
You know, you're not. You want to do better, but when you get on that plane and you're heading back east, and if you're 500 or better, it's been a good trip. I thought the Cubs, I read in Council's, one of the things he was talking about going into this series, that they thought they did very well, but still a little disappointed that you left something, you know, left a game or two out there that you could have had, which is a great way to look at it. And it's the truth. So I thought the series against San Diego was good. They had a chance to win another ball game in that series. But I think some of the guys, you know, PCA played very well.
Yeah.
Some of the young guys are learning on the fly, you might say, and responding pretty well.
Yeah, Bush played well. Some of the young guys, you know, especially some of the California guys back in California. I'm curious. Obviously, you know, we're going to have to – well, I'll wait on Matt Shaw. We'll have to get to that. But I'm very curious. Luke Little sent right back down, came up, obviously gave up the four walks, and now back to Iowa. They haven't announced whatever the other move is, but – they did sort of change the pitching rotation a little. I think Colin Rea goes, and then they're giving an extra day to Ben Brown. What do you think as you look at some of the moves in the bullpen? And you know, we always talk about how bullpens change over the course of a year, but that's a very short stint for Luke Little.
Yeah, well, he came in, you know, and was misfiring.
Yeah.
Walked four guys. And I think what's going to happen with the younger guys is if you perform, you're going to be able to stay. But this is a team that's built to win, right? You need to win now. And if you're not going to perform, and I feel for Luke because it's been a long time. He's been banged up and he's been injured. You finally get a chance and it didn't work out. But with his kind of stuff, he's going to get another chance. This isn't like he's sent to the salt mines and you're done for good. He's just got to go figure it out, throw strikes, get back here. And then when he gets another chance, you got to throw the ball over the plate, you know, and that, you know, was part of the reason the Cubs lost the ball game. But the bullpen is figuring itself out, I guess you might say. When the Cubs have the lead, you kind of know where it stands. When they don't have the lead right now, you know, 6th, 7th, 8th, it's shuffling the deck a little bit. And we saw that with some of the moves. Plunkett came in. He's throwing hard and threw strikes and got some outs. So he's been used a couple times already in San Diego. So the non-winning games or games you're ahead is still a little bit of a question mark. But the games where you're ahead, you kind of know where people stand.
And you feel like, Ron, this is an okay time for the Cubs to still sort of be figuring this out. Like, it's still early enough in the season to sort of play around with it and get into a bullpen rhythm.
Ruthie, I think every team does.
Yeah.
I really do. The first month of April, first month of the season, the way teams are set up financially is you set your ball club up and then, you know, the good teams have a solid closer and they might have a really good setup guy. And then you start trying to figure it out. And some teams were able, and the Cubs being one of them, to sign some veteran pitchers. So that really helps that 6th, 7th inning when you're leading. But then when you're not, you know, there's that figuring out stage. And I think the first third of the season, I think you go through that. And almost every team does. And that's where the Cubs are at.
So I'm curious, Ron, were you surprised that Matt Shaw was sent down in as quick a fashion as he was, or is there something in particular that they're looking for him to do before bringing him back? What is your take on the, you know, and I said it to Dustin, he didn't like it, but somehow third base has become this boogeyman position now where they had, what, 7 different players at some point or other last year all gone, and now you see Matt Shaw. You know, I just felt bad for the kid, but I was wondering, and I've been asking you about this, his unconventional swing. Like, it didn't occur to me, like, how do you fix that? Like, what do you do? Like, it's not like you can say one, there's just so many parts to it. What was your take on the whole thing?
Well, I was not surprised that he gets sent down. That's one. This is a league where, you know, performance matters. You're a team that's trying to win, so you've got to get production out of every spot, and if you're not producing, something else has to happen. For Matt, I think he is very unconventional. But some of those, as we've talked about, Mike, some of those things that are unconventional aren't, they're not the end of the world. And it's not so unique that they can't be, you know, they can't be incorporated into a guy's big league approach to hitting. The part that I saw that, you know, there's a couple things that got to happen. One, he's got to find like this baseline of things that I do in my swing that I do every single time that I can go to that are I do this in my setup, I do this in my leg kick, and when I start my swing, this is what I'm trying to accomplish every single time, you know, and a lot of that has to do with your head discipline and your eyes. And I just felt like he's a young player and he got to the point where, you know, you didn't see any of that. You didn't see where, you know, the normal ABCs that you have to do every time, he was missing some of those. You know, you were seeing different things all the time. And he's just got to go down there and make sure somebody can be there with him to give him some of those things. I was just watching, and you cannot hit in the big leagues when your head is moving as much as his head was moving forward towards a pitcher. You cannot. It does not work. I don't care what the name is on the back of your jersey. You give Ted Williams a chance to hit in his prime and say your head has to move a foot towards the pitcher when you're trying to swing, he's going to hit 200. It's just the way it is. Not going to work. And that's what Matty was falling into that trap.
Ron, are you surprised, considering just the strength of schedule, which we talked about, and the strength of schedule already that they've faced, are you surprised with the Cubs' offensive production? I just read that they lead the league with 124 runs, and it's 11 more than the Yankees.
Yeah, I'm a little surprised because, you know, you got some teams out there, you know, a team coming into town at the end of this trip, Philadelphia can put some points on the board in a hurry. The Yankees can, you know, teams that bop the ball. The one thing that you knew going into this season is if the Cubs put guys on base, their athleticism was going to be very beneficial. We saw this same thing. We're going to see that in this series coming up against right. Arizona. Both teams very athletic. Both teams are going to run. And if they get key guys, you know, four, five, six guys on, they're going to run. And they're going to be stealing bases. And the Cubs, you know, fell into that a little bit in Los Angeles where they had the heart of their lineup can all run. And the Dodgers were having a problem holding runners on. And the Cubs ran them out of the game a couple times. You're going to see that. And the Cubs have had a couple ball games also that skew that number a little bit. They had an 18-run game in Sacramento and I believe a 16-run game in Los Angeles. So, you know, those numbers sometimes can be a little skewed,
yeah.
You know, in how you look at total runs scored. But still scored them, you know, but you've had a couple big, big games.
You know, I'm just curious, Ron, did you feel the earthquake when that thing hit, and had you been in an earthquake before? What happened with that earthquake that hit when you guys were out there?
Yes, I did feel the earthquake. I was sitting at my desk in the hotel room in San Diego, and you know, Mike, we're Midwest guys.
I know.
When the walls started shaking, man, I'm like, I'm sitting at my desk in a hotel room in San Diego, and all of a sudden, I got a cup of coffee going. It's early in the morning. I'm like, it's okay. And I'm like, wow, that's awfully loud going down the hallway at 7:30 or 8 o'clock in the morning. And then next thing you know, the wall in front of me starts shaking. I'm like,
wow,
damnation, what do we got going on? And then I'm like, then it hit me. I'm like, we're in an earthquake. And the wall's shaking. My lamp is shaking. I'm like,
oh my goodness.
And I kind of moved away from the desk and I kind of peeked my head outside. I'm like, well, nobody else is yelling and screaming outside, so I guess we're okay. It was pretty bizarre. I have been in an earthquake a couple different times in California. That was probably the most significant one, I will say. One time I was outside walking and you felt the ground shake. And then this one was entertaining, I guess you might say. Glad nothing major happened.
God, it's just, and you're so right.
Have you been in an earthquake?
Have you been in one? Listen to this one. We took our kids to Disneyland, okay?
What?
And we were sitting watching the Muppet Show, you know that Muppet Show? Which is a 5D, they call it, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
So they're shooting water on you and stuff. I wasn't following what was going on. I thought the earthquake was part of the
show.
Shtick, swear to God. So I'm sitting there, and my daughter is next to me, and my other two kids are with my wife leaving the theater. And I look over, where are they going? I didn't notice the earthquake because I thought it was part of the thing.
Yeah.
So then we ran and caught up with them, and I'm like, were you not going to say something? Didn't you feel it? No. But we left, and then we went back to the room, and the next morning it was a pretty serious one. It was a 6-something.
Wow.
And we got up in the morning, and we just went out on the balcony, just my wife and I, talking about what were we going to do. Do we stay here? Do we get out of here? We had another day at Disney, and while we were sitting there, one of the aftershocks hit.
Yeah.
And I, honest to God, I thought we were going to go off the balcony. It was really? A serious shake.
Oh, my goodness.
And we just, we just got up, packed up, and off we went. We
time
left.
Time to go home.
Yeah. And we drove to Palm Springs or something, then we came back and had a day there before we finally jumped on a plane. But it was... I mean, it was so strange. I'd never, and of course, I don't know anything. I'm like, where's a doorway? I think you're supposed to stand in the doorway. You know what I mean? I never experienced anything like it.
Give me a good thunderstorm and we're good, you know?
Yeah.
I'm okay there.
Right.
Yeah, maybe we'll go in the basement if we really think. It was. I just thought it was such a wild weather event to have, or natural event, I guess, to have happen. Just crazy. I also, Ron, I once covered the Marshawn Lynch game. Do you remember that? The playoff game in Seattle? Uh-huh. Where the crowd cheered so loud, the stadium shook, and they said it registered as an earthquake.
Whoa.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. But, I remember when that was at the World Series, when it was in San Francisco and that earthquake hit.
Yeah.
And, the road came down. I mean, that is, frightening stuff. I would hate to have to
live. I was watching that game. I remember I just had my knee fixed, and I was watching the game. I'd just gotten out of the hospital. And I was sitting... at a friend's house watching. I'm like, I looked at him. I'll never forget. I go, oh, what the hell just happened? What's wrong with your TV? You know, boom, it was out, right?
I was working at the paper, and young Joe Goddard called in with his story. Joe, longtime baseball writer, the late Joe Goddard. And Joe, I said to him, Joe, are you okay? He said the minute it hit, he crawled under the desk in the press room. He said all these people were standing up and looking. He just went for cover. I'm like, you're a wise man.
Yeah. I think that's what they say. Go get under the desk.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. But anyway, this is a wild thing. Back to the Cubs. So when you look at this right now, Ruthie mentioned it, the first series loss since Japan. Now you come home, and again, the opponents don't get any easier, but the trip home probably does. You probably feel good about the road trip. We've talked a lot about what the expectations are for this team in this particular stretch. Does being at home make it easier to deal with a difficult schedule? In other words, coming back and getting in your own bed and getting out to the ball yard and having the fans behind you, does that make this series, I don't want to call it easier, but it makes it more manageable?
I would say yes. You never know how the series is going to turn out, but I just think every player, just finally being home. I think the team has been on the road between leaving to get to Arizona by minimum. And, second week of February, you've been home. You went to Japan and you were home for 6 days back out west again. So I think everybody's going to be happy to get in the normal time zone, right? The Midwest time zone, get normal sleep, be in your own house, go to Wrigley Field where you're familiar. I do think that is a big advantage. But, you know, you still got to play the game, so you don't know how the games are going to turn out. But I do think guys are ready to just be home and kind of settle into the season, I always like to say. Once you get a good long homestand and, you're there for a while and you're not leaving right away, you know, you kind of settle in. And that's what's going to happen here in this next 10 days with a couple off days at home.
Ron Coomer on The Score is sponsored by Huntington, home of early pay. More at huntington.com/yourmoney. Ron, thank you, buddy. Always a joy.
Thanks, Ron.
Have a great weekend, Mikey, Ruthie. Great to talk to you guys. I will talk to you next week, bud.
All righty. That is Ron Coomer. He is one of God's great men. And don't forget, the Cubs take on the Diamondbacks and the season in the series opener this afternoon at Wrigley Field. Pre-game coverage begins at 12:45. Pat Hughes and Ron Coomer will be on the air for first pitch at 1:20 on the Southwest Airlines Cub Radio Network. Cubs Radio Network.
I just saw Justin Steele tweeted this morning. He's having surgery today.
Yeah, and he thanked everyone for the kind wishes and prayers. We should probably ask Ron about that because I think, you know, you're just hoping that everything's square and everything's cool.
Yeah.
You know, there is a certain uncertainty in terms of what exactly is wrong with him and whether it ends up being a Tommy John type of problem. So we will learn more today. And he did. He tweeted out a thank you to everyone. So good man. Let's hope he gets back and running. Well, it's not going to happen this year, but hopefully next year it doesn't. I really hope it isn't as serious as we fear it is. But we shall find out. 312-644-6767. It's Mully and Haw. Ruthie Polinsky here on The Score.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50. Code LISTEN50.
Hey, I'm Tank Sinatra here with my co-host,
Investigator Slater.
And together, we host the true crime podcast, Psychopedia.
It's true crime infused with comedy.
Making it a crime-ity.
Available on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Baseball 400.
This team went a memorably bad 41-121 in 2024, though unlike in 1919, they did try their best. Andrew.
Who are the Chicago White Sox?
That's right.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. Ruthie Polinsky in this morning for David. I don't know. I mean, it's a Jeopardy moment from a couple days ago, but isn't that just god awful that happened?
It's so funny with the Jeopardy music.
I know.
It's just like so jolly.
And they,
yes,
like,
that
they,
is correct.
They mention, like, the worst team ever, the, you know, the one that threw the World Series in 19, like, you know, they got to
get. They tried their best.
They get into the Black Sox and they lose. Yeah, we talked about it a little bit this morning. The Sox shut out again yesterday. Oh, yeah. There we go. I knew the answer to that one.
I'm just happy I knew the answer to a Jeopardy question.
Oh, boy. That just bothers me. At any rate, the White Sox lost 8-0 yesterday to Oakland. And we had, you know, they had won the series against Boston. It was their first series win of the year. They had a big blowout win to end an 8-game losing streak. And then they immediately won the second game in what has been legendarily known as the Luis Robert game, the game where he hit a home run to get him back in the game and then stole second base, got on base, stole second, and scored the winning run on Brooks Baldwin's single to right field. It was a glorious two-day stretch. And and so when they started this series, I believe the question we asked was, can they win against the A's? Like, because the A's, remember how the Cubs kind of handled them when they were at that was that the second or third of their season openers?
Yeah.
No would be the answer. No.
Nope.
Mm-mm. They got swept, so now they're on the – so they lost the last game against – so they got a four-game losing streak going into Boston. Going into Boston. They've got four games, a four-game series in Boston, including I believe they play Monday, which is Patriots Day. You know, they have the Boston Marathon, and they have an early game. I want to say it's like – is it 10:30 a.m. start? Wow. So you got to basically, and they should do this, get the whole team out there, maybe win a baseball game, and then they all run the marathon in their uniforms, holding bats, chunk, chunk, chunk down the street because they still have their cleats on.
I went to a Patriot Day game at Fenway Park back in the day.
How was it?
Cool. It's really, really
such
odd,
a cool
obviously,
time
to go to a ballpark at 9 a.m.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. Do they have breakfast?
So cool
they have breakfast food and coffees instead of beer?
I had a beer.
Look at you.
You got to have a beer at the ballpark.
He's gutsy. Did you have
and I was working.
Oh.
I was there with our old friend, Papa Joe Chevalier.
But you have often drank on the job, haven't you?
Especially for the last 15 or 16 years.
That's great.
Papa Joe.
Yeah.
God
it would be cool
soul.
For them to what's the goal? Get two?
It'd be great if they get a split.
God bless.
But I don't know. I mean, is it a fact of life that they just match up well with the Red Sox, or were the Red Sox just completely off the boil to lose a series to the White Sox?
And we'll find out.
Do they have revenge in their hearts?
Yeah.
Because I believe that they face Crochet again in this series. I believe they do.
Right. It would
so,
make sense. Yeah.
You know, let him pretend to throw a no-hitter, and then we'll throw a Chase Madoff at him.
Well, some people were saying, like, you know, not that big of an accomplishment because of the lineup. Like, do you get a little asterisk?
Oh, I see. He seemed to want to get it, though.
Oh, he seemed to want to get it. And the fact that I knew from the first pitch that there was a no-hitter at stake.
Yeah, that's all. He did say that.
That'll be good.
That is a horribly depressing thought, though, that he just asked. Does it count if it's against the White Sox? Because they can't hit.
I know, but like it's a – I feel like only, you know, salty White Sox fans would ask that question, right? You know? But I will say this. I will be doing the pre- and post-game show on the Chicago Sports Network tomorrow with Ozzie Guillen.
Oh, that's fantastic.
So tune in.
And you're here in Chicago because they're
we'll be
in
here.
Boston.
Yeah,
you're not
just
gonna,
pre- and post-game
You're not just going to do a quick trip to Boston.
No. Although I do love it there. Used to work in Rhode Island, many know.
Oh, yeah. That's pretty good.
Yep.
That's the Saturday. It's a 3:10 first pitch, the Garrett Crochet versus Shane Smith.
That's tomorrow?
3:10 first pitch.
Oh, I got
you. So you got a good one.
I've done a lot of prep, as you can see already. That was my plan for this afternoon. Great. Cannot wait.
The 3:10 first pitch, that'll be good.
Okay. No, I knew 2:30 pregame. I knew 2:30 pregame. That was what I knew.
Wow.
But I got a lot of work to do tonight. So no, it'll be good. Oh, that's great.
I wouldn't work that hard.
Yeah,
well, at least your evening will be free, right?
I'm going to smile and nod and giggle at Ozzy. That's my plan.
Did you see him yesterday? They were out at the ballpark, and Ozzy was bundled up like he was at a Bears game.
Did you see that Chuck ran with Luis Robert? Did you see that?
Well, I not only saw him run with Luis Robert, I then in the post-game show, how much White Sox baseball did I watch yesterday?
Yeah,
I also saw him run against Ozzy's grandson.
Yes.
That was funny.
Yeah, that was
who I actually met at Mitch's St. Patrick's Day party.
Oh, that's
Ozzy's grandson.
That's great. Yeah. I think it's important for you in particular, Dustin, to watch the games that fit your schedule best, right? That game yesterday is perfect for the morning
show. I actually tuned in. I specifically made sure I got myself in front of it. I wanted to hear what Ozzy thought about being swept by the Athletics.
That's why that is magic, right? Like to know that the White Sox lost and then turn on, you know, what is Ozzy going to say? Like that's magic, you know?
You know, it is
the best.
Easter this weekend for a certain segment of population. I also believe coincidentally Greek Easter falls on the same date as our Easter. I'm a Catholic. So it's good to see that. And it, of course, always makes me think of one man whenever we get to Greek Easter, not my buddy Bob Vassilopoulos, although I think of him, not his friend Father Peter, who is a Greek Orthodox priest, but the great man himself, Hawk Harrelson. Have you ever heard this highlight?
Hi, everybody, and welcome, and a very happy Easter to each and all out there, and also for all my Greek brothers and sisters, Christos Anesti, Alathos Anesti.
Pure magic.
That is one of the greatest television moments. I sat down, I'm watching this, the beginning of the show. Stoney is standing next to Hawk. He turns to look at him. He's just like, when he goes into the... Can you play it again? Because I could listen to it all day.
Hi, everybody, and welcome. And a very happy Easter to each and all out there. And also for all my Greek brothers and sisters, Christos Anesti, Alathos Anesti.
Christos Anesti, Alathos.
It makes me want to have some lamb chops.
It makes me want to...
I love Greek food.
It makes me want to brush my teeth because I think he says Alathos.
Well, after some Greek food, you should brush your teeth.
Yeah. Yes, correct.
One of the all-timers. I just love that one.
Off the rails.
Yeah, we're off the rails. But I just wanted to mention that, you know, I grew up on the South Side, and we always speak parish. Like, what neighborhood are you from? There is an item in today's newspaper that the church that I attended my entire childhood and life, St. Thomas More, is closing after being open for, I believe it is 67 years is what it says in the Sun-Times. They're closing the church that I spent my childhood in. I got to go back there and, you know. I mean,
gotta try to get there for one last Mass.
Well, I mean, you know, I can't even tell you how many sacraments we spent there. My parents died out of that church. It's just like really tough to see your childhood.
I agree. I didn't realize I have not been back to my parish that I grew up with in forever, even though I still live in the same town, but just on the other side of town.
Yeah.
And I drove by and it had changed hands to another nationality. Weird. And they're like, it's still a church, but it's no longer and I said to my mom, like, she's like, oh yeah, I forgot to tell you. I'm like, oh, okay, thanks. You know, like,
there's something
idea.
About that.
It's, you know, sacraments, weddings, funerals, the same idea. Yeah.
Sad.
All right. Well, we got to get to Mike Palm. We're going to bring in, speaking of religion and church and Easter, we're going to
Vegas
talk. We're going to head out to
Vegas.
I've also spent a
Vegas Easter Vegas once.
Did you spend an Easter in Vegas? What was that like?
Oh, I'd have to tell you off air.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
That sounds like a good one.
Love it.
All right. A very happy Easter to all my Greek brothers and sisters.
Yes.
So let's get that done. We'll talk to Mike Palm next. It's Mully and Haw, Ruthie in for David this morning on The Score.
For all my Greek brothers and sisters, Christos Anesti, Alathos Anesti.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, proudly presents the star of our show,
Mike Palm, Vice President of Operations of Circa, the D, and Golden Gate.
Vegas!
Vegas, baby! Vegas!
Twitter at Mike Palm Circa.
Why don't I take you somewhere that you've never been?
Where's that?
Vegas? Let's head to Vegas with Mike Palm, sponsored by Circa Sports Illinois. Sports betting the way it should be, with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Remember, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas.
I don't care if the sun don't shine.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Ruthie Polinsky sitting in for David this morning, and we are delighted to welcome in Mike Palm to the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, aturo.com. Mike, happy Easter to you and yours, buddy. Have a great weekend.
Yeah, thank you. A good Friday to all your listeners and to you guys as well.
Thank you, pal. And so here we are, and Dustin says, whatever you do, make sure you ask about WrestleMania. It's in Vegas this weekend. Can you bet on WrestleMania? I would find that hard to believe. You can go to it maybe, but is there a WrestleMania number?
No. There's
some things are sacred.
There was a request made to the Nevada Gaming Board, but no, it was summarily dismissed. But I tell you, the amount of people who are coming out for it's incredible. We had Ric Flair at Legacy Club doing a podcast, and then he did some appearances at different places on property. I mean, people were lined up 2 hours before Legacy Club opened to get up there to have a chance to meet Ric Flair. It's pretty. They had a seminar in the ballroom last night. They had like 250 people. I didn't know. You know, the LVCBA made a big deal about getting WrestleMania, and it's on Easter weekend, which is a really tough weekend to get people to come to town. A big deal about this event. I mean, it's pretty incredible. The amount of attention we've got, we've had like minor wrestling matches at the event center Wednesday, Thursday, and tonight. It's accompanied by concerts. The demand is really there, and we agreed to show it on the main screen with volume at Stadium Swim Saturday and Sunday. So Knights fans, don't complain now. Go sit in the book. Game one is 7 o'clock against the Wild on Sunday. The first period's not going to have volume at Stadium Swim, but it will in the book.
Obviously, Mike, great to talk to you. Go ahead. Did you have a follow-up on WrestleMania?
I'm just laughing at it.
I know.
It's crazy.
It's funny. I'm glad Dustin will be happy we got that one in. It's great to talk to you, Mike. Obviously, here in Chicago, we're getting ready for the draft. What's the conversation? What's happening in Vegas surrounding the draft right now?
Yeah, it's pretty interesting because it's a bookmaker's nightmare. This will be the sixth time at Circa we've booked the NFL draft, and at no point have we ever made a winner on it. We got crushed again last year. So in fact, we had a meeting, Jeff Benson and Chris Bennett and Derek and myself, about what are we even going to do on the draft. And we decided, look, we're going to put a dozen or so guys up there over under what position they get taken, take a fair wager, 500. But it's really tough because it's all based on inside information. I mean, the information was out to the people that were close to the Broncos of where Knicks was going, right? And people came to town and destroyed us on that. So I think Aston Jeanty is really interesting because I think if he got to the Bears may take him, but there's a lot of teams that might take this kid. And we say running backs are, you know, no longer the value they are, but we opened his over under prop at 6.5. So, and it was even money to the under. So slightly favored that he would go 7th or lower. The under has now got bet to -200. He's like the biggest mover on the board from when we opened these yesterday afternoon. So the thought is he's going to go top 6 is what the money's telling you.
Mike, we know our boss Mitch Rosen was out there for the Masters, so you got a chance to see him. He had a beautiful green jacket getting ready for the party. But I'm curious, it ended up being like some of the greatest ratings, and obviously Sunday, Rory's hole up and down, and it was like a crazy tournament, and apparently the most watched golf event in 7 years. How did the book do, and how were there a ton of people out there like Mitch?
There were a lot of people. Stadium Swim and the sports book were full on Saturday and Sunday. Had good crowds on Thursday, Friday. It's the most we've ever written on a Masters by a factor of about 40%.
Wow.
Terrific names at the top of the leaderboard. And you know where we got a lot of the right. And it cut into the win because Rory was a winner for us. But what cut into the win is the people betting. You know, we have the two-way markets, Molly, and we have the no on these golfers. And people were betting no on Justin Rose when he was the leader after 18, when he was the leader after 36. I mean, significant six-figure wagers, no. I mean, a guy laid $100,000 to win $5,000 after the second round that Rose wouldn't win. And he was the leader. And, I mean, he got there. But what a ride he got for us. We get to a playoff with him. I mean, if he wins, we almost scoop everything.
Wow.
Oh, my goodness.
That's crazy.
I wish we were getting ready for the NHL or NBA playoffs here in Chicago, but those are two things we'll be sitting out this year. What are the big talking points surrounding hockey and basketball?
You know, the movement on these series in the West is pretty interesting. The Nuggets opened $1.40 favorite in that series against the Clippers. The Clippers are now $1.25 favorite.
Wow.
The Warriors, the 7 seed, are almost a 2-1 favorite over the Rockets, or the 2 seed. The Lakers opened $2.20. It got down to $1.60. It's back up to $2.10, so the money coming back in. So good movement on these series in the NBA. The NHL, a couple interesting lines. I know the Stars lost their last 7 games heading into the playoffs, but they have home ice, and they're still plus 140 dog against the Avs. That's pretty much at every book. The Avs are minus $1.60. And then I think it's interesting how short of a favorite at 175 the Leafs are against the Senators in the battle for Ontario. I wish your Chicago teams would have made it to the playoffs, because at least the people there could have seen them on national TV.
So, Mike, just a final question about that draft stuff you mentioned. Is there are there limits on what you can wager? I mean, if it seems like there is kind of a fix in on that. Like if you're working for an organization and you tell your brother-in-law, you know, yeah, we're going to take this guy if he's there. It just feels like that would be, I don't know, too easy to kind of fix. You have to have a limit, right?
Well, that's why a lot of books only take $100 or even $20 on some of this stuff, because there was a case a few years ago where, you know, somebody in the front office, they had a relative come out. I mean, they know who they're drafting, especially if they're high up. You know, they don't have to, you know, it's not like it's the fifth round. You have no idea who's going to be available. So that's why we really try to limit it to guys that are going to be drafted in the first round. The Shedeur Sanders thing's interesting, really, right? I mean, it every day it's different, but we opened him over 8.5 to go ninth or later at $3, and that's up to $4. So the bet is that he's tumbling down a little bit. I know some places are offering, will there be over under 2.5 quarterbacks drafted in the first round? We didn't offer that, but that's interesting as well, because there was a lot of steam on Jackson Dart earlier.
Right.
It's cooled a little bit, but that's an interesting prop as well.
Great stuff, Mike. Great catching up with you. Really appreciate it, pal.
Thanks, Mike.
Thank you so much. Happy Easter to everyone.
That's great. That is Mike Palm. He's our man in Vegas. He's like the last Catholic in Vegas. He's got his kids. They have a church.
Love it.
And there's like one church there, I think, but Mike's running it. All right. We've got a lot to get to, and we'll do so next Bigs time when we come back. Mully and Haw with Ruthie on the score.
Yeah, whatever.